There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
I was like, what? Do you want to explain yourself?
Much of a predator?
Yes. Something fishy's going on here, I think.
You think?
Okay, big boy, take it away.
Big boy. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of The Therapy Crouch with me, Peter Crouch.
Big boy. And me, Abby Clancy.
Daddy's got it here for you.
God. So.
Good week?
Great week.
Yeah, enjoyed it?
Yeah. I think Easter was just too long.
Yeah, we got over that in the last, we've sort of aired our proper issues out there in the last pod, didn't we?
Yeah, but I think because of the kids were off for an extra week, we went away to Portugal and we had just a kid zone. It was just loads of quality time with the family, bike rides, water parks, you know, just the usual hell pits. No, it was nice, wasn't it? Just to reconnect and revitalise ourselves.
Yeah, listen, you know, the kids enjoyed it. And I know we whinged a bit about the children on the last podcast, but they're back at school now and it's nice to reconnect with you. Back on the therapy crouch, no children running around screaming, like having to go out every second. It's nice to me and you to reconnect because it's important that the top of the pyramid is strong.
Yeah, which my dad sent me this message this morning, actually.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Like, my dad, obviously, is totally backward.
Totally backward?
Is that where you get it from?
That's where I get it. No, my dad constantly sends me these messages about tips to how to look after your husband, an extract from 1950s home economics
book.
Can I
read this? This is phenomenal.
Go on.
Right, so an extract from the 1950s home economics book, Tips to Look After Your Husband, which, you know, I should have been born in the 1950s, I think.
You bloody are. We've actually had a few comments on how I am, like, stuck in the 50s the way I look after you.
What?
Yeah.
No, I do think you do look after me. I'm not going to deny that.
So what are you moaning about then?
I'm not moaning. This is just madness. Like, can you think about it? This is how the women used to live, right? Have dinner ready. Plan ahead, even if the night before, to have a delicious meal on time. This is a way of letting him know that you've been thinking about him and are concerned about his needs. Most men are hungry when they come home, and the prospects of a good meal are part of the warm welcome that's needed.
Pete gets like a little dry fish finger that's left over. I think this one's the worst. Minimize all noise. At the time of his arrival, eliminate...
Don't want a loud wife, do you?
At the time of arrival, eliminate all noise of washer, dryer, dishwasher or vacuum. Try to encourage the children to be quiet. Be happy to see him. Greet him with a warm, smiled, glad to see him look.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah, just encourage the quietness. You know what I mean? I've had a busy day. It's been noisy. I don't want to come into like a load of noise. You know what I mean?
Some do's and don'ts. Don't greet him with your problems or complaints. Don't complain if he's late for dinner. Count this as minor compared to what he might have gone through that day. What the hell is that?
Yeah, I mean, this one's good. Prepare yourself. Take 15 minutes to rest so you'll be refreshed when he arrives. No more than 15, just 15. Yeah. Rest.
Noted.
You've got your chores to do.
admin.
Yeah.
Touch up your makeup and put a ribbon in your hair to be fresh looking. He's just been with a lot of work weary people. Be a little gay. Be a little bit more interesting. His boring day may need lift.
Okay. I'm just going to stop you there because this is where, you know, the reality of your work and my work at home with the kids. So your work, so you'll go and hang around with Chris and Dave and frigging talk about bloody football for an hour. And then you'll go and hang around with your mates, Joe Cole and Rio, and have a laugh. I see you on telly laughing your head off. So you can't come home to me telling me you've had a stressful day. You stop on McDonald's on the way, get a nice Big Mac, pre-dinner.
What?
You know, your work is rest. Your work is rest. Meanwhile, I'm at here. I'm at home with four feral children trying to cook, clean, make your dinner, try and do my own work, which is completely irrelevant.
No, listen, 2023 is a very different time to the 1950s, let's be honest. And I think the...
Bloody not in this
house. Obviously, the, you know, women have obviously moved on. You know, the world's moved on. But women, men also, like, you know... We haven't moved on. Of course we have. I don't expect these things from you anymore. The 1950s, they would have done. What I'm saying is a lot of men have evolved. Of course they have.
So my sister and her boyfriend are like getting to that stage now where an engagement could be on the cards. And I was telling Pete about it because we've gone from the ring. We've done the dress. We've done bridesmaids. We've also done the table decorations.
It's only the venue. Scott doesn't know any of that.
it's only the venue we haven't sorted, but we've got a few in mind. And Elle was like, this is great. When he asked me to marry him, we can get married 2 days later because the whole thing's sorted. And Pete's like, don't think it's going to be happening for a while. And I'm like, why? And he went, I've talked him out of it. I was like, what? Do you want to explain yourself? That's what you said. I've told Scott, like, everything changes when you get engaged and you lose your power.
It's a big power shift. I'll be honest with him. There is a big power shift. You go from holding all the cards to holding none.
Explain that.
What I'm saying is that, I don't know, there's something that shifts. I don't know why. You'd have to explain that. But,
so you think women feel that they have to like suck up to the men and be nice to them because they're not safe, and then once they're safe, they kind of...
Totally relax. But yeah, all the power, it's the power shift. It's exactly what happens. You get married and then you lose all the power, and then it's like, well, you can't go out with your mates anymore. You can't do this anymore. And if anything you enjoyed, gone. You have to put out all of that, and you have to deal with, you know, family life and, you know, the wife's needs now.
Pete, you impregnated me four times. Like, what the hell? You can't say anything.
This is a safe space to be honest, right? And I'm being honest, the shift is monstrous. So you go from holding, you're like, oh, I'm going to go away with lads. Yeah, you have a great time. God, you know, come back. Don't worry about it. We got golf today. Enjoy yourself. Then a minute.
Pre-engagement.
Engaged. Not doing that anymore. Change your hair. Don't like the way you look. Don't like the way you dress. you're not going out Saturday night. No golf trips. Well, they're all finished now. that is this total shift in power. Not for me, because we've got such a loving relationship and, you know, it's all give and take up, but for a lot of people.
Is this what your mates tell you?
This is all the lads have been telling me about.
Well, that's where they've gone wrong.
Yeah.
They haven't married someone who they really love.
Yeah. I agree with them. I always say it to them. I say, you should have married someone you really love.
You're such a twat. Do you know that? It's true, though.
Women down above always go, you should have married like me. None of that's happened to me.
My dad's wife, Sue, is amazing. Like, she lets me dad kind of pretty much have free reign.
To a point. Mm.
But he has to be home on time. Whereas Pete goes, say if I said you've got to be in for 7, I'm saying 7 because that's the time my dad has to be in. Pete will go, oh, it's 7:05. I'm going to stay till 3 a.m. because I'm in trouble anyway.
That's not true.
Literally. So he's like, it's 7:05. I'm going to get into so much shit. So I may as well stay out till 3. No, but my dad literally gives it all the big bollocks. Like, I'm the king of this ship and all that, blah, blah, blah. And then we saw him once running down the down the road, literally sprinting home. It was like 3 minutes to seven, and he was legging it home. He's the biggest under the thumb man I know, isn't he?
Yeah. He is, yeah. He's giving it big time in the pub with the lads and all that, and then obviously he leaves 1 minute to him run.
So what did you actually say to Scott? Did you actually...
I didn't say anything. This was a lads chat. I mentioned it to you. You don't know why you're making a big thing of it. I just said to him, you know, just make sure you definitely know what you're doing.
Change is coming.
It's there. The change is coming. No, it does. Unfortunately, it does happen. Just needs to be aware of that. You know what I mean? It's like, I just think... He needs to be aware of all the scenarios. And I'm, you know, of course, she, you know, amazing. He's lucky to have her. Just wanted to make sure.
That's the thing. You should be on Elle's side, not Scott.
Of course I am.
Scott is replaceable. Easily replaceable. There's a circle of trust and then there's Scott.
Yeah.
Once he gets engaged to Elle, he can be in.
Yeah. No, I agree with that, you know. Of course, you know, Elle's like my little sister, or, you know, your daughter, you know, just take her to school. You know, so I'm obviously on her side, but, you know, just have to be aware of all the situations before you go into things, you know what I mean? I've always talked from experience, you know, when I speak to my mates.
Pete, if you're that unhappy, fuck off. Jesus Christ.
I think we should go straight into the weekly wines then.
Go on, like, then.
I've got loads.
Go.
Massive one. It's to do with, obviously... Like off the back of our last one with the, you know, it's just airport ab. We wake up usually early. We get an early flight, don't you, in the mornings.
So I wake up early because I'm packing 6 bags.
Mm. Yeah, this is my wine.
I'm bathing all the kids, getting them ready,
bathing
the outfits.
The kids beforehand.
Babe, they were in the bloody lake. They were in the lake.
No, I'm talking about there and back.
So I'm talking about back.
Okay, on the way there, right? No, because I'm talking about the early morning one where you get up early. It's like 5 a.m. You've got to be at the airport 5, 7, 8, whatever it is. So you get up 5:30. Straight away, I know, fucking hell, it's airport abs. We're on the case, right? Kids, fucking just chill. Just be careful. Don't go into the lion's den too early. you're possessed. It's like the exorcist has literally come in the night. An airport ab just wakes up and you just, I don't know whether you just can't, you struggle with the stress of, and I know you've got a lot on your plate, like you have packed all the bags. I understand that. But yeah, I mean, the way you speak to me is like fucking bad, you know? Like it's really aggressive. You know it as well. You can't even.
Have you
got anything to say about that?
Have you finished?
Well, there's loads more I can go into, but I'd like to hear your take on it.
When we're going to the airport, it's like, I feel like you just kind of turn into a complete brainless moron. You go the other way. Yeah, and it's like you try and wind me up.
I don't try and wind you up. That's what I'm saying. You're so highly strung on an airport day. This airport ab, like, I just think you need to just try and tone it down.
I don't know what part you're referring to.
All of it. It's the whole journey.
No, because you can't hear on plane, so I have to shout.
This is an amazing one, right? So obviously I have sinus trouble, right? Like, you know, as we've well documented, right? My nose isn't great, my ears and all that. Right, so I'm on a plane and my ears, I have to pop them all the time. Like, I'm here in the aisle, I've got the two kids there. She's like window seat of the other one and two kids here. So, and then she's going,
Literally, I was thought we were all going to get ill because this woman definitely had the wildies. She was in the toilet every 2 seconds and we were sitting behind it like she was like breathing through us. And I was like, oh my God, we're all going to get the bug. So I was trying to whisper this to Pete. So then you're getting annoyed at me because you can't hear me and threw a nut up my head.
No, but it wasn't like you were just being really rude because I couldn't hear you. I can't hear you. You were saying, oh my God.
I was going, read my lips.
Read my lips. I just don't even talk to me. I could still see you getting annoyed about that, right? So yeah, I did throw a peanut at you.
And I tried to throw one back because I've got terrible aim. Couldn't get you.
I dinged one straight off her forehead. And I just heard one hit the side of the plane.
So So then he didn't get any snacks on that flight. I was like handing sweets and goodies out all to the kids and just like missing Pete out. He wasn't getting
it. That's fine, because I just know that's airport ab. That's just how she rolls. And unfortunately, I'm just saying it's just something to bear in mind for the future. Just a bit nicer. It's supposed to be a nice thing.
It is a nice thing, but it just annoys me the way you let the kids buy anything they want for nothing.
I don't.
You do? So we're already late for our flight and Pete's like, I'm just taking my kids to buy a colouring book. I'm like, you're not, Pete. I've got five cupboards of colouring books in the house. Mm.
But we're also we've got I've lost my phone, which happens 16 times on the way to the airport. I can't find my phone, lost my phone. And the other one is, we've missed it. We're going to miss the flight, aren't we? No, that's it. It's gone. We've missed it. We've got 3 hours. We're in an airport. We've got 3 hours. So I've gone to buy a colouring book with 3 hours to spare, right? And apparently we're going to miss it. Going to miss it.
Such a bad father.
No, but I genuinely don't want these kids thinking every time they walk past the shop they can have something.
Mm. Totally agree.
Drives me insane. Like they just think they can have anything and they can't.
Lib locked herself out of the iPad putting in the code too many times, right? So I knew we didn't have that for the flight. So she asked me very politely, can I have a colouring book, Dad? I said, yes, she can have a colouring book. So I took her to get a colouring book with 3 hours to spare. And that was it. Got a colouring book. She coloured the whole time.
But I've come up with a good plan now for our next holiday. I'm going to give them money at the start of the trip each and say, every time you want an ice cream, every time you want to go to the shop and buy a toy, you've got your money there. And if the toy costs the amount that you've got, that's you done for the 3 weeks or the 2 weeks are away. You know, you have
to
make it last.
Yeah, I like good that. Idea. You could do that on your flight, because I'm going to get the flight behind you in future. So I just think I'll take two kids and you have two kids.
No, but we can't split up on a flight because if anything happens.
Well, at least we'll have two left.
Which two would you choose?
I don't know what's worse. Like, is it?
Would you mix the gender? Would you ever take a boy and a girl?
I've got my two. I'm fine.
No, because your two are probably the same as my two.
Ah, that's not. No way. They're not. We love all our children the same.
Me. No, <I'm
joking. laughs> That's the conversation. I mean, that's a whole podcast, isn't it? Do you have a favourite child? Do you know?
I got into trouble with that favourite child thing in the newspaper once.
Changes all the time, though, doesn't it?
Yeah,
really?
It does. I tell them all that they're my favourite.
I do as well. I whisper, don't tell anyone you're my favourite. To all of them. Probably not the right way to go about it.
No, it is, because each one thinks of the favourite then. Yeah,
exactly.
You don't say it to me.
You're my favourite.
I actually have got a whine, but it's not really your fault. You know, when you had this operation, I thought the snoring would stop. And I love you, and it doesn't really bother me, but if I'm not asleep before you, I can't sleep, because it's like lying next to a bloody tractor.
I don't want to be a snorer. I didn't think I was, but...
Because you don't look like a snorer with your gorgeous blonde hair. Lovely tan skin.
I don't want to be a snorer particularly. But this issue is obviously, you know, my sinuses has caused a bit of it, hasn't it? And I do apologise for it.
Anyway, okay, let's crack on. Okay, hey guys, not my wine, but I saw this meme and it definitely reminded me of you two. It read, how come men can remember the most of intricate details of any football game they saw 12 years ago, down to which side of the net the third goal was scored, but can't remember what time you booked dinner. Enjoy. That is so true. My dad literally is like, 1973. I was in Barcelona. It was the World Cup final. Da, 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 and just knows exactly. Dates, so. I literally can't remember what I did yesterday.
Your dad's amazing with dates. He goes through years.
On football?
Cup finals. So like, I'll say, that was 83 and he'll go, yes. You know.
I know when my son was born. It was that year Liverpool won the league. Yeah. You
know? He literally goes through his like calendar through football dates is usually what Liverpool were doing.
But you're the same. Like if an old football match comes on, you can go, I know, I was there that day. Mm. I know
scores and what happens in the game. I'm struggling with years. I'm not great with years, but I could tell you you know, what the score was in that match, what happened in that match, who played in that match.
I can't remember anything.
But yeah,
like, I'm like, even to my kids, I'm like, Liberty, Sophia, Johnny, Jack, like Jeffrey, like I can't remember a thing.
Yeah, but I do that. It's I think it's, you remember what you're passionate about, don't you?
No. You just said you can't remember our kids' names. You remember.
I'm not passionate about them.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
All right, so getting into today's podcast, we had loads of people getting in touch with us saying about, like, they've heard enough about my career, the football, what I've done. People want to hear what you've done. And, like, I think there's plenty of sort of aspiring models out there who want to get into what you've done.
I think you're a lot more prevalent, like on TV, like people have watched your whole career for like 20 years on TV at football games, then obviously the podcast and all the TV that you do. And I think I haven't really done that much.
No, you haven't. No. And I don't think you've ever really talked about yourself.
Because I don't like talking about myself.
Yeah. You do at home, but just not to the general public.
No, because it makes you feel embarrassed, yeah, or like a bit shy.
But you shouldn't be shy. You shouldn't be shy. You should be proud of what you've achieved. And there's, like I said, there's plenty of girls, young girls, that look up to you and want to do what you've done. You know, various campaigns that you've done. You know, obviously starting out on Britain's Next Top Model.
Mm.
You've been through a journey, and you've worked hard to sort of. And obviously, yeah, you have to look like you do, but
I think. Obviously, like when we met, I was on Britain's Next Top Model. And
was that something that you, how did you get into that? How did you do that?
Well, I wanted to be a pop star. I wanted to be a singer, dancer, model or actress when I was a little girl, if I was asked. That's what I wanted to be. I loved singing. I was in a band.
Not many people know this, right? You were in a band, right? I mean, you don't like talking about it.
Yeah.
You're a little bit embarrassed by it.
I'm not embarrassed by it. I'm embarrassed about my black hair and bleach blonde fringe that I used to dye red. And like the horrific outfits that I used to wear. But I loved it. Like, to be honest, looking back, I don't know how I did that. You know, on a confidence level. Because, I find this easy doing the podcast because it's just me, you, my brother and my cousin. But I actually shit myself if I have to get on stage or speak in front of, like when we did the Strictly, when I did Strictly, I loved the rehearsal part, but I hated the performance.
And I find that really strange.
Even though I won the competition, I was so annoyed with myself that I couldn't perform how I wanted to in my head, just because of nerves. I can't control them. And it really, even when I was getting tens off the judges, I knew I was performing to a five. You know, I wanted to give more, but I just physically couldn't
Is that your high standards, though, that you set yourself?
No, it's not high standards. It was just nerves holding me back.
But you obviously won the competition. You were, when I watched, you were an incredible dancer. Like, you were amazing.
No, but I couldn't, I could have
you
done it better.
Because
I even tried one day, like, getting drunk. Because I'll be like, when I'm drunk, I think I'm like Madonna or something. Do you know what I mean? And that didn't help because obviously the timing was out. I couldn't focus. I was pissed. But I don't know. I think when I was younger, I had a lot more like dreams and aspirations. And then when I got with you, I felt like I had to kind of put it on hold a bit because of like a lot of negative press. And it was like, she's only going out with Pete because she wants to be famous, you know? And it was kind of all of that. And I think, you know, having that from people we knew as well, I thought, oh, what do I do? Do I try and carry on with my career? Because it's important to me. And I was kind of stuck in the middle. It's kind of, if you work, you want to be famous. But if you don't work, you want to just get your nails done every day and live off a footballer. So it was kind of a tough
catch 22 situation. Yeah.
So I was quite picky trying to please other people, which, you know, in hindsight, I wish I didn't do because, you know, I find if people don't like you, they don't like you, no matter what you do, you should.
Would you have pursued the singing then?
I would.
For anyone who doesn't know, Abby's voice is incredible.
Go on, give us a tune.
No, it really is. And like, you don't like doing it. You go all shy like that. But like, after a few, like on the karaoke, you can't get you off. But you have got an incredible voice.
Thanks.
You're a great singer. And I don't think enough people know that.
Yeah, but no one wants to watch some Al 40-year-old with four kids banging on a stage now, do they?
Yeah, they do.
Like,
there's plenty of artists out there with children.
Yeah, but they started young, is what I'm saying.
You could go on the X Factor, you know, the overs.
Yeah, but do you know the freaking overs? You know, you've only got to be like 25.
Yeah, I know.
To be in the overs. I'm in the game overs.
Game overs.
Can you imagine? No, I couldn't.
Overs, babe, we'll get you on.
I couldn't do it.
What about the Masked Singer?
Yeah, that's what I said. I've actually said that to you.
I have been asked to go on the Masked Singer.
You know,
Ross,
what?
I couldn't do it.
You couldn't.
No, because then you have to take it off if you get voted out. I'd be like, I know I'm going to win this because I'm not revealing myself because I'm not singing without the fucking mask on.
It's a shame that because it feels like you've got a gift there, you know, you've got a gift that...
Yeah, there's that story in the Bible, isn't there, of the people who wasted their gifts. They went to hell.
No, you have got a gift and it's a shame that, you know, like... It's not out there.
But I do think as well, like, when you become a mum, your priorities do change and it's not really about you.
But yeah, they haven't said that. Like, that was your dream. Like, but you followed a different dream, right? You mentioned lots of different things there.
Yeah,
like,
don't get me wrong.
Singing,
the
modelling career that you've had has been incredible. You've done some amazing things.
Yeah, I've done some great things and some amazing projects that I've been really passionate about. And for me, it's important to, you know, I've been quite fortunate to kind of pick and choose what I want to do and things that I love and enjoy. And I used to love modelling, you know, being a different person, different persona, hair and makeup, you know, it's an amazing job.
But you still do it now. You know, obviously, like, you still really enjoy it. When you go on a photo shoot, you feel, you know, you look great. You do enjoy it. You come home with a big smile on your face. You know,
yeah,
getting
your
fleece dress and gown.
Yeah. So, because I've just shot the new Victoria's Secrets campaign and I'm like sending Pete pictures from the shoot and then get home and the eyelashes are off, the hair's pulled out. There's no sexy underwear. It's like the fleece dressing gown is straight on and you're like, oh, so you look like in the pictures.
It is unfortunate, yeah. Like, the only thing you brought home from Victoria's Secret was the dressing gown.
I know, but I love it. Mm. I love my fleece dressing gown. It's my like safety net. I don't know why. But yeah, no, I am proud of my career. There are times, I do have a slight regret of, I wish I would have pushed myself a bit more when I was younger and not been, you know, worried about what people thought about me or whatever. So when I was on Britain's Next Top Model, I was 19. It was so young, and it was literally the first time I'd ever stayed away from home.
But how does the application... So you must apply for that show, so you must know that you wanted to go on it.
No, my mum's friend, Kirsten, did it.
Right.
So and I remember going to her house and getting the camcorder out, and she recorded my tape, and I had to go, and it was so... It was mad, like, having to put a bikini on and, like, strut down in your heels, and looking back at the video, I had that youthful, big, fat face, giant boobs, and, like, I was just legs and boobs. Mm-hmm. And I didn't win the show. But, you know, going from that to hosting the show like 12 years later, 15 years later, was incredible.
So who won it? I'd love to meet her.
Her name was Liana. She was definitely more of a high fashion,
right,
kind of edgy look. I was kind of more commercial, kind of girl next door look, if you like, I think. Mm.
Even if you do say so yourself.
Isn't that... Yeah. Shut up, you.
I'm just like that girl next door. You know?
Well, that's what they call me.
Well, you know, so Janice Dickinson was one of the judges on that, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, we went on to do a show together.
That's what I mean. So then you ended up working with her as well. So you go like full circle. You started at sort of Brit's Next Model, that sort of made you. And then working with Janice on that. But then you went to America with Janice, didn't you? And
yeah.
Did a show with her.
Mm-hmm.
And you modelled for Ed Hardy?
Yeah. She made me walk down like Hollywood Boulevard in like a bikini and was just calling me fat the whole time. Your fat ass is wobbling. I was like, oh my God. I wanted to die. But no, that was, you know, that doesn't even feel like me. That feels like I can't even really remember it.
Mm.
It just feels like a different life. It's mad.
Mm. But you've like, what would you say, like, the best campaigns that you've worked on or most enjoyable things you've done?
My dream was always to be a Victoria's Secret model. And I went to America. I had the audition, got the call back, then got pregnant with Sophia. So that kind of never happened. And I thought it was the end of the dream. I just feel like, you know, back then when I was a teenager, I would have died to be a Victoria's Secret model. And when I got pregnant with Sophia and they were like, oh, you can do it again, it didn't happen. And I thought that was the end of that dream. And then when I got the call earlier on this year to do the campaign, I literally couldn't believe it. I couldn't, you know, nearly 40, four children, and I've got the job. But I thought it was actually a really positive message in a way because, you know, I haven't got the body of an 18-year-old. I can't compete with an 18-year-old. But what I am, you know, there's more of a story. I am... like a woman who's still working after having all of her kids. I'm older and, you know, it kind of meant more to me, it felt like more of an achievement. Doing it at this stage of my life is a huge achievement as well.
Mm.
Because they could easily go and pick another hot 18-year-old girl.
Yeah, but you say that. But
the pressure, the pressure was on as well, though, because I was like, oh God.
You don't look too bad.
No, but it's not even about how you look, it's about how you feel.
Mm.
You know, what came with that for me was there was a lot of insecurities as well, because I'm like, fuck, I'm not 19. I have had four kids and I'm nearly 40 and I've got to literally get my kit off and do a campaign. But it made me feel, I can't explain, it was such a like, that side pulling me that way and that side pulling me that way because... Mm. Made me really paranoid and worried. And then at the same time, like, this is great. This is a great message for other women who feel like, you know, they've had kids, my life's over. What is left for me? Because people do feel that. Women, especially, who've kind of given up their careers to have their kids.
Yeah.
And they lose the confidence. And then they're like, what do I do now? Kids go to school. What do I do? You know, finding yourself again and being able to work is a great thing.
Mm. What do you prefer doing? Obviously, like, you've got the commercial side of things, which... you enjoy, but also the high-end kind of fashion bits and pieces. Like, I only know this stuff through you, but I remember coming to a few things where you've done, like, runway modelling and kind of high-end brand, like, work, where you'd see, like, a big catwalk show. Do you enjoy doing that?
Yeah, that's amazing.
I remember going to Milan with you for Milan Fashion Week. Yeah. And obviously, I'm a fish out of water. I've got a clue what's going on.
You're joking.
Obviously, incredibly well-dressed man. You know, high-end fashion, but I hadn't been around it much, you know. Like, so I went there with my strangled Pumas and my Levi's and watched you. But it was an amazing like, experience to be around that.
No, I think it was Katie Grand who got me into all of that. She kind of... after Britain's Next Top Model, kind of took me under her wing, and she actually, the quote she said, "I thought you'd be a complete twat, but you're actually great." That's 15 years ago, and we're friends ever since. And she put me in some amazing things like Russian Vogue, Love Magazine, Hogan Campaigns. I walk for Giles Deacon. You know, she was the reason I did those jobs. I wouldn't have been taken seriously unless she put me
in that light. Do you think
in that light
you weren't taken seriously, or may potentially not taken seriously, was because you were with me?
No.
Because I was a footballer.
No, because at that time, like years ago, there was a massive, you know, that whole WAG culture. It was
but that's
like
what
a
I'm saying.
Frenzy.
Do you think that was potentially a reason?
Well, yeah, but not in a negative way. I've been called worse things than a WAG. Mm. In my life.
Rhymes with it, doesn't it?
Shut up. Slag, my darling, is one thing I'm not, unfortunately. No, because I don't know. It was a point in time where everyone was obsessed with that whole WAG culture, and it was.
But what I'm saying is like that culture was not high end fashion. Do you know what I mean?
But it's iconic when you look back. But I wasn't really part of that, was I?
No. But like I say, like that whole, like watching you do those kind of shows and stuff, like it felt like it was amazing watching you in them. And you, well, I don't know if I'm biased, but I always felt like you were the best one.
Yeah, because that's because you're my husband.
Because I'm biased. Yeah. Well, I don't think I'm biased.
It's though. Like watching your kid in the school play, and they're like singing out a tune, and they're like, "You're fantastic, you stand out." Liberty, our daughter, who's got two left feet, thinks she's bloody Beyonce. Do you know what I mean?
No, I think you put yourself down too much.
No, I think, you know, for me, I always wanted to have a career, and I am happy. Mm. But I don't feel like it's over. I would like to do more things, but definitely my nerves hold me back.
Yeah, so what I want to ask is, like, loads of people got in touch, mainly young girls, really, about, like, any advice you would have for them, sort of maybe who want to get into this world that you're in. And any bits of advice that really stuck out for you when you were going through?
I think the whole modelling, I think anything in entertainment, really, you've got to have thick skin, because there's more rejection than appreciation. Like you've got to believe in yourself, because until you make it, no one else does.
Same with football, exact same.
But the main piece of advice that I was given, which I live by, is be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Always be yourself and be kind, I think. Because if you're yourself, you can't go wrong.
Well, I think you know, you can't. People can't see through. If you're being someone else, you're not gonna. It doesn't last very long, because eventually it will come out and be yourself.
Yeah, I think be yourself. There's so many people who aren't themselves, and it does, the real them does come out in the end.
Yeah, but like what? So how? If any advice for like a young girl sort of coming into
My start was quite unusual, because like for most working models, they're going on a million castings a day, and they're with agencies, and it's a tough world. But I didn't have that journey, because I went on Britain's Next Top Model, and then me and you started going out with each other. So I was kind of instantly thrust into the limelight. So maybe had it easier in a way. I was getting booked for jobs because people wanted me. I didn't have to go and compete with 20 other girls or whatever to get that job. So mine was a bit of an unusual path.
Looking back, are you proud of what you achieved? Is there any regrets?
Yeah, I'm proud. I'm definitely proud of what I've done. I've had an incredible life. I've got to travel the world. I've got to earn my own money, work with some incredible people, have a laugh. You know, that's like the most... You know, it's great when you go to a shoot and you've got your team and your people and hair, makeup and photographer, and you're all just having a great day.
When I come visit you sometimes and you've got, like you say, you've got, you know, the girl does your hair, the makeup, and you're on a shoot and you've got like a glam squad, right? And you look like you are having a laugh.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And then you take great pictures, you know, you can take...
I'm waiting for something here.
No, because you can take them with you forever, you know, and you can show...
Yeah.
You know, people, when you're an old granny, you go, "That was me. Mm. I was hot."
Yeah. But I do have some kind of regrets, and I'm my own worst enemy when it comes to holding myself back with nerves. And, you know, in the early days, like, I reckon I could have done more with myself, but I didn't, because I was trying to please others who didn't approve of me.
Yeah, like, the thing is, you know, you still look incredible, right? And of course, you're still going to get, like, amazing jobs and things that you can still do for another, you know, 6 months. but, like, in 20 years' time, where do you see yourself?
Well, I've got my album coming out on the 6th of June. Don't joke it.
Jeannie Green.
Imagine, shut up. No, I just want more of the same. I'm loving life. The ideal scenario is to have work-home balance. Like, because, you know, as a mum, you do get that mum guilt. One side, you're like, oh, I want to get away from these kids and get to work. And then when you're there, you're like, oh, I feel like a terrible mum leaving them or whatever. I just want to do more of the same. I'm loving doing the podcast and whatever that might bring. But no, I'm so grateful and would like it to continue, really.
Mm. Well, you're very good at it. You should continue with both.
What about you?
What?
What do you want to do in the next 20 years?
I enjoy doing this. I enjoy doing the podcast. I'd love to stay involved in football. I still do a bit of football commentary. I'll be honest with you, since I retired from football, I haven't missed it. And that is the biggest, the nicest thing that I can possibly say is that I'm still doing a job that I really enjoy.
Because
I've been very fortunate enough to be able to do that since I left school.
Because you, I remember you always saying, like, frighten me once when you said, if I die now, like, I've done everything that I wanted to achieve. And I was like, oh my God.
I know that was something nice.
No, it's not. Because now I was like, I don't want you to die.
No, what I said was, obviously, I don't want to leave you and I don't want to leave the kids and I want them to grow up. But, like,
but if I die now, I'll be fine with that. No. I was like, what?
No, what I was thinking is, like, if I was there on my deathbed, this has gone morbid all of a sudden, but I just think if I lie there on my deathbed, right, like people go, right, and you evaluate your life, right, and you evaluate your career and how you think about your regrets. I should have done this, should have done that.
No.
What I was trying to say is, if that happened to me, obviously the things, the future things, like I want to see my kids grow up, get married, have a great life, and I want to be there for them.
Will you be talking their fiancés out to get married to our daughters?
Potentially.
Aye. Like you did to my sister's boyfriend.
Yeah. You know, I want to be there for you. But what I'm saying is I feel like I've been incredibly lucky. I mean, the 1% probably of people that have loved everything they've done work-wise.
And achieved.
Met a beautiful wife who I adore.
What about that pen you missed on the Champions League
winner? You know, there's a few of those. Yeah, not being a Champions League winner. there's the odd regret.
So you're not going to die with no regrets then?
Yeah, well, I can't fucking change them now.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, for a lot of footballers retiring, because you did have a little bit of a wobble before you retired, because I was here and I knew, like, Pete's not one to, like, kind of open up about his feelings, but I always know because he's, like, pacing up and down the room with this face, like, chewing his bottom lip.
which
went on for about 6 months. So I knew you were kind of panicking about coming to the end of your career, like knowing it was going to come to an end.
But even that,
because like,
I left school at 16 and retired at 38 on my own terms. I wasn't injured. You know, I look at some of my friends, you know, who just couldn't play. Their knees were gone, and you know, at 30 years old, it just. They have to retire because their body can't cope with it anymore. You know, like I had 8 more years. You know, like I feel so lucky and blessed that I had that. So I don't look back at it and go, oh, I missed that, because I had it and it was amazing. And
some footballers have really struggled when they've retired. You know, with their mental health
And also you know, you go from playing for England to nobody wanting to hear from you. You know, people not recognising you, you know, not having that release of a Saturday afternoon, going out there in front of that many people, scoring a goal and, you know, just the adrenaline. Feeling great. The adrenaline, the buzz, you know, like how do you replicate that in normal life?
I have 4 kids.
Impossible. It's literally, and that's a slippery slope for a lot of people. And I was so scared to not go down that route that I probably took on too much. And now I've scaled it back to a place where it's comfortable and nice and good. and I'm happy.
So it's our favourite type part of the show, agony ab.
Better than airport ab.
Shut up. Okay, hey guys, I love listening to you both. Honestly, it makes me belly laugh. So as your relationship is literally life goals, I need some advice. I'm single and have been for a year whilst working on myself. Boring cliche, I know. I need to get back out in the dating world and find a perfect catch. How can I go about this? Please help a girl out. P.S. I'm 31, so preferably looking to avoid bellends. Sorry, Dan, can't help you there, though. So many bellends, though, isn't there?
Yeah, there's actually majority of bellends.
I think men are more bellendy than girls. They are. In the dating world, a man would be more typically classed as a bellend than a woman.
Do you think?
Yeah. Oh, he didn't turn up for that date. What a bellend. He had three other girls on the go. What a bellend.
Okay. Yeah.
He ghosted me. What a bellend. Show me.
How many bellends can you get in one sentence?
Loads.
I think it's tough out there, to be honest. I do think it's, you know, not everyone's on the same wavelength, are they?
No, so. And I thank God that we're not in this generation of like online dating.
Do you think people are too picky now as well? Because it feels like there's so many more options.
I don't think they're too picky. I think they're just too, what's the word? Like they don't value, they don't need to court anyone or impress them because they can just swipe left and go and shag someone the next hour.
No, I think what you're trying to say is that, you know, back in the day, we're not going 1950s, but we're going, you know, slightly later than that. But it'd be like, would you like to go on a date with me? And you would say yes or no, or play hard to get. And then it'd be like, the chase would be more like, let's go out on a date, you know, and getting a date would be number one.
Yeah.
Whereas now you don't even have to think about getting a date. You just go match on, you know, you don't even have to speak to anyone and you're already going on a date. Mm. You know, it feels like if I saw you at work, that was how it'd be. It'd be work, or I saw you out on a night out or something like that. I'd go like, let's have a drink or something like that. You give me my number. Even that's a buzz, isn't it? I suppose now it's like, you know, you've got 15 matches. Which one shall I take out? I suppose that takes away what dating is.
Well, it's that magic of, you know, remember like when we first got together and you'd like go to bed and, you know, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is like look at your phone to see if you'd had a text or you like stay on the phone for hours talking or whatever. Or planning. Maybe we don't know. We're dinosaurs in this world. We've been together.
There are people that definitely still do that. I'm just saying there is the option to not do that.
Yeah, there's more of an option. There's more of an opportunity not to romance someone and...
I think it's got to be organic, hasn't it? I think, yeah, you can still meet someone on a dating app, without doubt. But yeah, I think go on dates. There's plenty of men out there that aren't bellends.
There is. But I think you should, males and females should be a little bit hard to get and know their worth. And
Bit more long game. All right, there you go, Danny.
There you go, Danny.
Another one here. Dear Peter and Abby, I was late to the party with your pod, but I've caught up and been watching them all whilst working from home doing IT. Love the content and often wish I could join you on the couch one week as I'm always shouting advice at the screen during agony ab. I'm 40 years old, happily married with two boys, 4 and 9. In a world where our friends have eventually split from their partners, I genuinely believe we've gotten happier and stronger as time has gone on. One thing my wife struggles to understand sometimes is my constant playful groping. Ugh. She cannot understand that even after 17 years together, I get excited every single time she removes any item of clothing.
Oh my God, this is you? That's my wine, actually.
Oh, it's exciting, my wine. Though. Do you want it to not be exciting?
No, but I can't get a shower without you fucking running in. It's like, you know that bacon advert where they start cooking the bacon and the nose like runs through? If I remove a sock, Pete's there, like that.
Just behind the wall like that.
It's so annoying. It's just so...
Just maintaining the peep.
It's so annoying.
Is it all going to come off? Peeping Pete. Just like that. Yeah, so is it all going to come off? And then is it? Nope, she's done. Okay. Well, I know now not to come in and disturb. I'll just peep. Anyway, it's become a running joke in the house. I can be downstairs and hear the shower going on, and I'll run upstairs into the bathroom, just stand there smiling. I also enjoy a good bum grab at any point in the day. She has a fantastic bum. I particularly enjoy when she wakes in the night deciding she's hot and proceeds to switch her PJ top for a short sleeve.
Oh, he's fit for purpose,
he's
guy.
He's a pervert, yeah. I have perfected the seems like I'm asleep, then shoot a hand from under the covers to a cup of nice warm boob.
God, this is a bit much.
At times it drives her mad, but she's also admits she'd be devastated if I ever stopped. That's Do you guys have similar, or is there another one that winds someone up? Peter from Surrey. Just interested to see how you react to that one. So, from Steve, actually.
God.
I think you would, yeah, right? But you, I think you wouldn't be happy, right? If you were totally naked.
I've actually said that to you before.
And I just carried on, like, reading my book like that.
Yeah, because you've done that.
You were naked there and I just going, no interest whatsoever.
You've done that though as well, because I've actually said that to you before.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you can't get
You don't even look
it.
At me when I'm naked anymore. And then fast forward, like, there's a rule now in our house, like when I get out the shower and put my makeup on, like normally naked because you're too hot when you're like blow drying your hair and stuff, and you come round the corner like that. Like it drives me insane. So you have been barred from
touching you when you're doing your makeup.
Yeah.
But I just find it's a bit mad. I know. Sorry, boys.
I know this is quite awkward. And these when we get these like sexy talks up and it's my brother and my cousin, it's just so odd.
But what am I supposed to do if you are totally naked, like doing your makeup? Like, you just put a dressing gown on or something.
I do. I get shouted at for the fucking dressing gown though.
Yeah, but the totally naked is...
Do you know what I actually do now?
If I don't look, what am I supposed to do?
Do you know what I actually do? I've come up with a new tactic with the dressing gown.
So am I that much of a predator?
So I've got a new tactic with the dressing gown. So dressing gown's on, but instead of tying the belt at the front, I put the belt round the front and tie it at the back, and they don't know what to do.
Impenetrable.
You don't know how to get it off. You're like, oh, how do I untie this thing?
It's like a baby game.
Works a tree. Yeah.
But why would you want that? Why do you not want me?
I do, but not when I'm putting my makeup on. Not when I'm getting ready.
Okay.
Any other time is fine, but not when I'm getting ready.
Okay. Just another thing for you, Scott. This is what happens when you get married.
Yeah. Who's Scott?
Just let Scott know.
Oh, ask Scott.
Yeah, just letting him know that, you know, the power shifts, and also there's a double fucking locked dressing gown.
You're making me out to be a right fridge.
What? You've double locked yourself.
No, I haven't double
locked.
You
might as well put on a chastity belt.
I've just put the belt round the other way.
You've double belted yourself, so I can't get any access whatsoever.
Only while
Poor
I'm doing
Steve,
makeup.
I'm with you, mate. I'm with you. We're going through.
No,
it
it's
here.
A bit nice. It's nice to know that you're still desirable to your
what
husband
saying,
after 16 years.
It's a minefield for us. Like, you want to feel desirable, but you don't want to be touched. You know, you want us to look at you, but not when it's makeup time. Like, what the hell are the rules in this situation?
You know the rules.
It's hard for us.
You know the rules.
It's tough out there.
It's just the makeup section.
Just makeup
zone, that's it.
Okay. But then, you know, other than that, there's a small window of nakedness, isn't there? Like, there's like a shower straight into dressing gown. There's a makeup I can't touch. Like, what is it?
Never. No, I'm joking.
I'm with you, Steve. We're always going to struggle on that. They make the rules, unfortunately. Next one. Hi, both. I recently find myself in a really awkward situation and I don't know how to deal with it. Over the holidays, I was invited to my husband's family home for Easter dinner. Now I know my in-laws fairly well, but they live on the opposite side of the country, so we don't see each other that often, especially some of his extended family who were there for that weekend. For the majority of the weekend, the atmosphere was great. Everyone was so welcoming and friendly. The food was delicious.
Until.
However, we were finishing our Sunday dinner and I started to feel a little bit uncomfortable. I had a lot of gas and I could feel a fart coming on. I tried to hold it in, but unfortunately my body had other plans. I had already excused myself a couple of times to go to the bathroom. I didn't want to raise any strange suspicions. I decided the next one was going to have to be a silent but deadly job.
Oh, no.
I tried to go for a trick that has worked for me well in the past, where I'd elevate one bum cheek slightly above the other before leaning to the side to let one slip out. But alas, my ass betrayed me. In a split second, a loud, elongated body burp escaped me and echoed around the room. My heart sank as I looked around the table. I saw everyone staring at me, trying to hold back their laughter. I felt so embarrassed, I wanted to crawl into a hole and hide. The rest of the evening was a blur, and I couldn't stop thinking about what just happened.
A blurt?
I don't know how to face my husband's family again without feeling like a complete tool. I'm worried I won't be able to shift the label of the girl who farted at the dinner table. What can I do to overcome this flatulent-induced embarrassment and regain my confidence around my husband's family? Sincerely, a non-a-bum.
So, firstly, we are getting a lot of these bloody... We are getting a lot of fart questions to our pod. Is that what people think of us?
I just think that's the level of our podcast, just the way it's stooped. Well, I just think people feel comfortable around this pod. And they're not comfortable enough to put their... They're all anon, by the way. Every single one, even the one after it.
Anonymous.
This one's anon. But like, yeah, I mean, that's where we are. I think they feel comfortable enough to share it. They know that we could help through this matter. This is something that everyone does. And I feel like...
I don't.
You know, you all... Everyone tries to hide it. We all try and hide it. But it's a fact of life, right? One squeaks out, one squeaks out. You can say, look, that was funny the other week when it squeaked out. God. And then everyone else will laugh about it. And then you move on.
Yeah, but she must be mortified. Like, I couldn't handle that. I would literally leave. I'd leave.
Yeah.
I've actually trained my body not to do that because it's the biggest turn-off for me on earth, as you all know. I don't know why, but it just is.
What the worst thing is about that is I think that she said that she lifted one up because it's worked well. So, like, when the noise comes out, it looks like she's gone... She's lifted it and, like, gone for it.
Like, you have to own it, don't you?
My mates do that. They lift it, and then that's when they're really going for one to make everyone laugh. Whereas if you just sat there normally and someone squeaks out...
Scott did it the other day. Scott did it in Portugal.
The leg lift.
Yeah, me and him were just talking, and I think for 1 second he thought I was, like, one of his mates or something, and he just went like that and farted. I was like, oh, my God. He was like... I can't believe I've just
the whole leg lift thing is about, it's not about like trapping it, is it? You don't want to trap it, isn't it?
I just don't want to have this conversation.
It's about more of a release. But the fact that she's done that, they obviously think that she's just gone for one.
So what have they said? Have they said anything to her?
They've held it in. But she could see that they all wanted to laugh.
See, her boyfriend should have protected her there and laughed away.
He should have just done a fart there and just killed it instantly. Like
I think.
But then she'd have a go at him for totally embarrassing her. If I did that around people you weren't entirely comfortable with,
there's no easy cure when you're mortified. You know, it's something you have to get over in time.
I think it's about owning it. Like when I said hello to that fella on holiday the other day.
Oi, oi.
Oi, oi, there he is. And then I got closer to him and I've never seen him before in my life. Then I went for the handshake, went, nice one, like, see you later, like, as if I did know him. And he was so confused.
He's probably thinking, God, Peter Crouch thinks he's amazing, like, saying hi to everyone on the street, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I just didn't have a clue who he was. That's he knows funny. Who he is as well, so if you want to get in touch, it's therapycrouch.com.
I feel for her because it's hard when you're not with your family, not with your own family.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
To do, that would be bad enough, yeah. But, you know, own it, it's fine.
Own it.
You're only human, honey. Okay. Hey, both. I started going out with my now fiance in year 9. Oh, my God. I know how mad that sounds. I've only ever kissed one boy, and that's him. We've had school proms, 18th, 21st birthdays together, and a beautiful engagement, which was everything I could have ever asked for. All my friends think I'm the luckiest girl in the world, but it has dawned on me that I may only ever kiss one boy and find my mind fantasizing when I see a good-looking lad. Could I have been having bang average Susan Boyle sex for my entire life? Maybe I could be a Swedish house mafia girl, but it feels like I may never know. I never really chatted. I've never really chatted up anyone else because as soon as anyone has ever chatted to me, I've shut them down straight away and I've gotten very good at it over these years. Am I getting pre-wedding nerves or am I making a very silly mistake? Love from sunny Spain and on again.
I think, you know, if she's obviously loves her husband to be. I don't know. I think this is a tough
Our
one.
Advice is so shit, by the way.
Yeah, well.
We don't ever know what to say.
No, I'm just worried about this one. I just can see this ending in tears.
Well, that's what you need to say.
I just said it.
Okay.
it's just not a good scenario. Like, you'll always have that because you've been together since you were 14. And I'm assuming, obviously, you're a lot older now. You're about to get married and then you have that niggle of doubt, you know? Have I been dancing to the wrong tune?
Maybe they should give each other a hall pass.
Oh, not a bad
chance. Big shout from you.
That's just nothing I would do.
But imagine, right? If I came to you, we've been together since you were 14, imagine I said to you, I'll just suggest this. Hall pass.
I kick your head in.
I get a right hook. Straight in the chops.
Have you seen that thing where it's like they're talking about a hall pass and the girl's like, oh, my hall pass would be Brad Pitt. And the husband's like, Sharon from Your Way.
Gotta go realistic, haven't you?
Yeah.
No, but yeah. Then she's like fuming at Sharon.
Tom Cruise.
My
your sister.
Imagine.
Gotta make it realistic.
It's a hard one. Because the grass isn't always greener. She could risk it all and.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Can you talk to your husband about it?
Yeah, that's actually a really good idea.
Nice, in a diplomatic way, say you having these feelings as well.
But what would you do if I said...
No, I'm not. Fuck off. Could be the answer.
It's a tough one.
I think you could just talk it out.
You can't talk it out. I can't even watch the fucking Vikings. So you getting a cob on. Imagine me saying to you, Pete, I've been thinking and... You know, I'm getting cold feet. You know, you're going to be the only guy I'm going to kiss for the rest of my life.
I'm going to go to Norway and find a Viking.
Yeah. Finland. The better in Finland.
You can go and live out there as well. Hey, Pete, I've been stitched up here. I might come across as a bit of a sex pest. My wife of sex pests confiding in me.
Because you know what you're like.
I'm sure you're not. He's saying I'm not. I'm actually not. I'm straight down the middle on her libido scale. So I've been seeing this girl for a few months and I can you can tell she's more experienced than me by the unbelievable tattoos in the theatre of dreams.
What the hell does that mean? What is that? What is that?
Well, I imagine he's calling the...
A vaginal tattoo?
Yeah. She's got tattoos. I think he's calling the... I imagine the vagina theatre of dreams...
What is this podcast?
He's a United fan as well, yeah.
Figures.
Well,
they're all bent up there.
That's the Theatre of Dreams, that's really cool. Well, my life was going so well. We booked a month-long trip to the US Route 66, Mustang and all. Then she drops the bombshell. She said every 3 months she has a month off, a somewhat vaginal hiatus. Have you heard of anyone doing this?
No.
Have any of your friends have a month off?
No.
Why, number one?
I don't like to put like a definite no on things.
Having those tattoos in the Theatre of Dreams would normally suggest there's no month off.
That's a bit presumptuous.
Depends what the tats say.
It could be keep out, keep
close
off the
for
grass.
Business.
only open from April to.
Yeah. Oh my god. People are going to stop writing in.
They're only open from Jan till March.
I wouldn't write into this. I certainly wouldn't put my name on it.
They're May till July.
Question one, I've not heard of anyone doing this. No.
I've not heard of anyone
question
doing
two,
it.
Question two, do I get her to scrap this idea? Again, this is a conversation I think you have to have with your lady friend.
Lady friend. Yeah, they have to have a conversation because I think you shouldn't be open and closed in the sexual shop.
Yeah.
You have to just, if it feels right at that precise moment, you should do it.
Mm.
And if it doesn't, don't.
Yeah, maybe that's something you can speak
to. What are you laughing at?
Open and closed in sex shop.
Sexual shop. Well, she's saying it's like closed for fucking business.
Shit, these agony abs have got out of control. I can only apologise. It's supposed to be therapy and it's not been today, but...
it is.
Has it? Has anyone got anything out of that?
Yeah, we're saying only have sex when it feels right. Yeah. And don't, like...
Okay, so there is a good...
Okay.
There is a good twist on that.
I really enjoyed that pod. It's good. Going back over old grounds, Britain's Next Top Model days. Seems like a lifetime ago and...
Mm. No, it's like interesting. It's interesting because I think we've had loads of people like emailing in and getting in touch with us that, you know, want to hear about your journey because there's plenty of girls that would aspire to do what you've
done. No, but I think what it is if you're doing modelling, you kind of, it's just a picture. You're not really talking, you're not on TV, blah, blah, blah. So people might see a picture of me, but not really know
who I am behind. Well, that's why I thought doing this would be really good because, you know, people do have a misconception of you or a preconception of you. But I know you and I know that you're all right. You're funny, you're engaging, you are intelligent.
Thank you.
And I knew you'd be perfect for a podcast.
Thanks.
That's why I let you do one.
God.
So well done.
But you're I'm not even going to say it.
Anything else to add?
No, I wanted to add, you know, we did our endometriosis pod a few weeks ago and Dr. Jeffrey Braithwaite kindly said he would see one girl a week and help them on their endometriosis journey. And just to say, we've been getting hundreds and hundreds of messages and we are going through them. And if you want to get in touch, it's thetherapycrouch.com and we will be in touch.
Yeah, and please keep sending in your agony abs and your weekly whines as well. Like, they make the podcast, don't they? We have so much fun listening to them. You can subscribe. You can follow us on our socials. It's thetherapycrouch.com if you want to get in touch. Because, yeah, it makes the pod, don't it?
And follow us on our Instagram and watch us on YouTube. And, yeah, we hope you're all enjoying it.
All right.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.